श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। राधमाधवा कुंज बिहारी जय। राधमाधवा कुंज बिहारी কোটি জনবালা গিরিবার দারি কোটি জনবালা গিরিবার দারি যশোদনন্দনা ব্রজ জনরঞ্জনা যশোদনন্দনা ব্রজ জনরঞ্জনা যমুনা তীরা জয় রাধমাধবা হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে হরে জয় সারিথদা জয় সারিথদা প্রভুপাদ জয় প্রভুপাদা নিত্যায় গো প্রেমানন্দী হরি জানি কলীল ভবিষ্ণু বিষ্ণু পাদ পদমহংস বিষ্ণু জয় স্তোত্র সাতোষি শ্রীমদ হিস দিভাইন গ্রেস এ সি ভক্তিবেদান্ত স্বামী সেভিয়র অফ দ্য ওয়ার্ল্ড শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কি জয় অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণব বৃন্দ কি জয় ইসকন বিবিটি ফাউন্ডার আচার্য শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কি জয় ভগবদ গীতা অ্যাজ ইট ইজ কি জয় সমবেত ভক্তবৃন্দ কি Nithai Go Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Ajana Timuranda Sya Jananjana Malakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Guru Vayena Maha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my most humble obeisances unto him. Srila Prabhupada Jaya. Is there anyone at the, would be 7:30. Yeah, you can get that up. So that'll be available for your view in a moment. But because it's kind of late, we'll get started immediately. Sadibhuta didaivamam Sadiyagna chaye viduhu Prayana kali pichamam Tevidur yukta chetasaha Sadibhuta didaivamam சதியாக்னாம் சயே விதுகு பிரயாண காலி பீச்சாமாம் தேவிதுர் யுக்த சேதசாம் சதி பூதாதி தைவம் மம் சதி யக்னம் சயே விதுஹு பிரயாண காலி பீச்சமம் தேவிதுர் யுக்த சேதசாம் அதர்ஸ் சதி பூதாதி தைவம் மம் சதி யக்னம் சயே விதுஹு பிரயாண காலி பீச்சமம் Mataji could chant now. Who was anxious to chant? Sadi Bhutadi Daivama Sadi Agnam Chaye Vidu Pagana Kali Pichama Any child under 12 would like to chant? A brave child? Not today, okay. Those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. Let's see, is there time to read the whole purport? Okay. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Persons acting in Krishna consciousness are never deviated from the path of entirely understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the transcendental association of Krishna consciousness, one can understand how the Supreme Lord is the governing principle of the material manifestation and even of the demigods. Gradually, by such transcendental association, one becomes convinced of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and at the time of death, such a Krishna-conscious person can never forget Krishna. Naturally, he is thus promoted to the planet of the Supreme Lord, Goloka Vrindavan. The seventh chapter particularly explains how one could become a fully Krishna-conscious person. The beginning of Krishna consciousness is association of persons who are Krishna-conscious. Such association is spiritual and puts one directly in touch with the Supreme Lord, and by His grace, one can understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, one can really understand the conscious constitutional position of the living entity and how the living entity forgets Krishna and becomes entangled in material activities. By gradual development of Krishna consciousness in good association, the living entity can understand that due to forgetfulness of Krishna, he has become conditioned by the laws of material nature. He can also understand that this human form of life is an opportunity to regain Krishna consciousness and that it should be fully utilized to attain the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. Many subjects have been discussed in this chapter. The man in distress, the inquisitive man, the man in want of material necessities, knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of Paramatma, liberation from birth, death, and diseases, and worship of the Supreme Lord. However, he who is actually elevated in Krishna consciousness does not care for the different processes. He simply directly engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness and thereby factually attains his constitutional position as an eternal servitor of Lord Krishna. In such a situation, he takes pleasure in hearing and glorifying the Supreme Lord in pure devotional service. He is convinced that by his doing so, all his objectives will be fulfilled. This determined faith is called Dridavrata, and it is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga, or transcendental loving service. That is the verdict of all scriptures. The seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the substance of that conviction. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to the seventh chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of knowledge of the Absolute. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I highlighted certain parts of the purport. I also have a preparation for this verse from who knows when in the computer, so I printed it out. So we'll take a little from one part, a little from another part. Let's see how it comes together. I'm just trying to dig out the Kindle. So the purport at the beginning says, persons acting in Krishna consciousness are never deviated from the path of entirely understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One thing about the these words, this sadi bhutadi daivamam sagdi yaga chayavitu, these are called Upanishadic language. These are we're not, most of us here, maybe all of us here, are not Sanskritists. But within the Sanskrit and the Bhagavad Gita, this part is very Upanishad. Bhagavad Gita is called Gita Upanishad, the essence of all the Upanishads. And here, Krishna is instructing Arjuna in a very Upanishadic way. So at the beginning of the next chapter, Arjuna, being a Kshatriya, not a Brahmin, he says, what do these words mean? He begins by asking, what is Brahman? What is Adhyatma? What is Adidaiva? What is Adiyagna? What do all these words mean? And then that's how the next chapter begins. So here, never deviated from the path of entirely understanding. So they should not be misunderstood. No one could understand Krishna completely. It's impossible. He's unlimited. It's dynamic. God expanding, increasing. Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam, Krishna conscious, like an ocean of bliss, which is always increasing. So what does this mean? Never deviated from the path of entirely understanding. So, in other words, never deviated from the path of always being absorbed in that understanding. Entirely absorbed. Then the Supreme Lord, I'm just reading excerpts from the purport that we just heard. The Supreme Lord is the governing principle of the material manifestation and even of the demigods. This is a very important point. This is borne out in this chapter and in other parts of the Bhagavad Gita. At the beginning of chapter 10, Krishna says, Name vidu suragana prabhavam na maharshaya ahamatir devanam maharshinam sarvasaha. Neither the host of demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulence, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and the sages. In the same chapter 10, we hear Deva Deva Jagatpate. He is the Deva Deva. He is the God of gods, the Lord of the universe, Jagatpate, just like Lord Jagannath. Then we hear, at the time of death, a Krishna conscious person can never forget Krishna. Naturally, he is thus promoted the planet of the Supreme Lord, Goloka Vrindavan. Yeah, this purport really, as we say in modern English, really cuts to the chase. It's giving a whole compendium of Bhagavad Gita philosophy, and it's justified in doing so because it's the last verse of the chapter. And as Prabhupada says, this seventh chapter, this is also here in this purport, particularly explains how one can become a fully Krishna conscious person. The beginning of Krishna consciousness is association of persons who are Krishna conscious. So the idea of the next chapter is Krishna Kripa. What is the name of the next? Is it the Taraka Yoga, something like that? It deals with leaving the body and different styles of Krishna consciousness, we can say, that apply, and how great yogis and great ascetics, they're able to control their life affairs and their mind and their senses and chant Om at the time of death and attain very auspicious destinations. And that's all leading to Krishna consciousness. So he's naturally promoted to the planet of the Supreme Lord in Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna consciousness is everyone is concerned with the art of living, but what about the art of dying? If we don't live with this clear vision or this clear acknowledgement and recognition that every day death is one day closer, then even in Western philosophy, this philosopher by the name of Heidegger, he's saying that then one is not living authentically. What to speak of philosophizing in an authentic way, if this fact of death is not very much one of the parts of the centerpiece, you can say, of one's deliberations and one's life, then it's not authentic. It's going into denial. It's not real philosophy. It's not real living. So it's we shouldn't be put off by so many references to dying, because the whole material world is called Martyaloka, the place of death. So the thread that ties the whole chapter together, Prabhupada is giving us, naturally this is the last verse in the chapter, so Prabhupada is giving a summary of the different topics of the chapter, is how one could become a fully Krishna conscious person. The beginning of Krishna consciousness is association of persons who are Krishna conscious. If we have time, I'll expand on one important aspect of the benefits of good association. Then Prabhupada goes on, one can really understand the constitutional position of living entity and how the living entity forgets Krishna and becomes entangled in material activities. By gradual development of Krishna consciousness in good association, living entity can understand that due to forgetfulness of Krishna, he has become conditioned by the laws of material nature. Now, when I read this, I was thinking, we have trouble with that one. We for years and years and years, we've been discussing amongst devotees, how is it that the living entity forgets Krishna and becomes entangled in material activities? So I was thinking, Prabhupada says here that one can really understand. Now, if there's someone who really understands, meet with me after the class, and I'll, after offering you obeisances, we'll write something, and we'll put it out, and we'll solve the problem. How do we come to this material world? How did we fall from, how did this all happen? But the clue is here, in various sentences here in this part of the purport. I think we have the clue as to why, although one can do it, but why it's not happening, at least in my own case, is it's all about the development of Krishna consciousness. It's commensurate with our Krishna consciousness, the degree to which we can articulate or even understand for ourselves these very deep aspects of Krishna consciousness. So often this question, such a difficult question as that, is resolved by saying, understand more when you become more advanced, when one becomes more advanced. We talk about the fall of the jiva, living entity, but am I self-realized? I may be able to say in the book, living entity is the Lord's marginal energy, tatastha shakti, but how realized I am I myself realized? The word understanding is not used cheaply by Srila Prabhupada. Human form of life is an opportunity to regain Krishna consciousness. As for me personally, this is such an inspiring, simple, basic point of Krishna consciousness, that humans should be doing something better than the animals. Prabhupada goes on. However, he was actually elevated in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada says, many subjects have been discussed. The man in distress, the inquisitive man, the man in want of material necessities. That was all discussed in the 16th verse, all in one verse. Chaturvidha vachantimam jananavidurasaram artho jignasarartati gyanicha bharatarshapam. But then it goes on, outside of that one verse, Prabhupada also mentions knowledge of Brahman. Where is that in this chapter? Maybe text 29. He's actually Brahman because he knows everything about transcendental activities. At verse 29, those who are seeking liberation from old age and death, they take full shelter of me in devotional service, Krishna says, and they're actually Brahman. So there's a case in the chapter where this is borne out, this understanding of Brahman. Another verse which can be construed as Brahman realization, but not in such a favorable way, those who are not involved in devotional service because they don't understand Krishna in truth. It's in the text 24 where apanam, how does that go? Apanam manyate mama buddhaya parambhavama jananto mama vyayamanutamam. That he's talking about impersonalists who think that Krishna was impersonal before and has just assumed this personality. If we read Prabhupada's book, sometimes the word is assumed there, but we shouldn't get confused. Not assumed in the sense that it's a temporary form as we have. Impersonalists who are not all up to speed on the real science of God, then they fall far short. So they may have some understanding of Brahman, but they don't make the grade, and they don't attain the goal, or at least it only very gradually. So it's interesting that Prabhupada is saying that he's giving all these different topics. What else? Now, knowledge of Paramatma, liberation from birth, death, diseases, worship of the Supreme Lord. All these topics are included, and then it's kind of almost a little shocking that Prabhupada says that if you're really elevating Krishna consciousness, you don't care for these different processes. Now, does that mean that if we become elevated in Krishna consciousness, then we skip all this and just read? I mean, it is a fact that in various chapters of Bhagavad Gita, so many types of sacrifice, types of austerities, types of yoga are all described. So many different topics are there. But the key thing is that the last verse of various chapters in the Bhagavad Gita show how all these processes lead to what Srila Prabhupada has mercifully bestowed upon us, which is the process of bhakti, the process of devotional service. That's why so many editions of Bhagavad Gita are not bona fide, because they are Bhagavad Gita minus Krishna. What kind of Bhagavad Gita is that? Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. Not only is he speaking, but he's also announcing quite frankly that he is the absolute truth, supreme personality of Godhead. Even Brahman, the Brahman effulgence emanates from him. He's the basis of it. What more could you want? I mean, how obviously the essence of Bhagavad Gita is to know God, to serve him, and that's called bhakti. So this verse tonight is also, even though all these different topics were described, they all kind of coalesce and they all lead up to the culminating verse that we're hearing now, how Krishna is showing he's the governing principle of the entire cosmic manifestation and the basis of everything. And one who knows this, know means that one is in Krishna consciousness, then at the time of death, one can still remember. It's such an awesome fact. And when you use the word awesome, I'm not using it in a modern sense. So last 20 years ago or so, The word awesome has been completely degraded.
Wow, man, those are awesome shoes you got there, man. Wow, that's great.
That was an awesome pizza or something like that. I mean, that's not the sense I'm using. I mean, in the traditional sense, the word awesome. Awesome in Spanish is venerable, como reverencial, algo así, algo especial, no? Awesome is, it's an awesome understanding. It should captivate us. And now we're not, of course, here we are, you know, this is a special day, special Kali Yuga, one in a thousand, where Krishna appears in his original form and Lord Chaitanya, and he teaches something even more esoteric than just the majesty of God. But in this presentation this evening, where we're just dealing with that, and that's how the chapter ends. So that's why one can remember Krishna, because one is enthralled by this knowledge, even in terms of the majestic aspect of the Lord. It all comes together. You connect all the dots. And what am I doing? I'm chanting Hare Krishna. It's amazing. We're dealing with God. We're dealing with the absolute truth. I'm just his part and parcel. This knowledge is so awesome in the real sense of the term. And then if you go to the next chapter, it's the same thing. Videshu, Jagneshu, Tapasu, Chabari, all these different processes are mentioned, and it's all put together. And it's saying, no problem. If one is a devotee, he gets all these benefits of studying the Vedas, performing sacrifice, giving in charity, pursuing philosophical, etc., etc. And he gets something more. It goes back to home, back to God. Goes to Krishna's supreme abode. You can go through various chapters, even chapter 10. So many vibhutis are mentioned, opulences of the Lord in this world. And at the end, ataiva bahuna. What is the use of all this detailed knowledge? Now that doesn't mean that we don't read all the Bhagavad Gita, but we should always read it. And that's why Srila Prabhupada is justified in so many of his purports, where he, advances he respects the context, but at the same time he advances the understanding leading toward the last verse of so many of these chapters, which underline the importance of bhakti. He doesn't care for all these processes if he's actually a devotee. That doesn't mean he doesn't read Bhagavad Gita. It just disappeared. Okay. He's convinced that by doing so, doing what? Glorifying the Supreme Lord in pure devotional service, hearing and chanting, etc., all his objectives will be fulfilled. This determined faith is called Dridavrata. And then in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's that similar expression. It's slightly different. Also, the word drida is there. Drida nishchaya. Shraddha sabde vishpasha kahi sudrida nishchaya. Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma kritahaya. By rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith, favorable to the discharge of devotional service, is called Shraddha. So, that also ties in with the verse that just was leading up to this, the two verses earlier, that, how does that go, Krishna Kripa Prabhu, the one about Dridavrata, Vajanti Mam Dridavrataha. The one that those who have acted piously, Janaram Punya Kamanam, Tedvanva Mohanir Mukta, Vajantimam Dridavrataha. That's why that word Dridavrata just appeared a few verses back. Those who have acted piously in this life and in previous lives and in this life, they can fully engage in devotional service, they overcome the dualities, and they worship me with firm determination. I wanted to say something, limited time, about Prabhupada's emphasizing the importance of good association. So you could go through a list and so many advantages of good association. Actually, I won't have time to. I had an excerpt from the Cambridge Dictionary of Philosophy. And it was something that was referred to in one of the brilliant classes by Sahotra Swami, where he mentions an excerpt. And if we would have time, what I would be reading is how very, very high IQ, like professors of philosophy, how they just start becoming floundering is the word. They start floundering. It means they just like groping in the dark, even trying to understand the self. They can't do it because they're still in the bodily conception of life. They don't accept Shabda. They don't accept Sri Guru Parampara. They don't have that association that one gets when one accepts these things. So they very reasonably argue against, for instance, Descartes, that Descartes says that there's another kind of energy, there's another substance, which is, he calls it the mind, which created tremendous problems in philosophy after Descartes, instead of recognizing that it's actually, he uses the word soul, but he, just like they, meaning many Christian theologians, they confuse heaven with spiritual world, they conflate it. So similarly, they conflate, mixed together the idea of mind and soul, or a spirit as such, as distinct. So it's a very interesting study that how, because he didn't catch the difference, mind is actually just subtle material energy. So mind is not that Cartesian dualism. It's not the fundamental categories of energies of Krishna. It's in the same energy. It's also material energy. It's not spiritual energy. But because he confused that, then it was very easy for subsequent philosophers to knock it down. And they say, no, Cartesian dualism is no good. But actually, it's great if we just compensate for that error. But no one caught that. Why? It's because they don't have the right association. But by right association, it's not that only that it's a joyful, wonderful life and you become purified by such association and you become enlivened. But having good association also connects us with, in our case, with Srila Prabhupada. That's why no matter what happens, no matter how many anomalies may come up, no matter how much I may disagree with, in some points with my authorities, but I'll never leave this ISKCON society because this is the association that's more than any other Sangha, much more, is because he's our founder Acharya. So it's putting in connection. And it's Srila Prabhupada who's able to elucidate all these points. And by that good association, connecting us with Srila Prabhupada and Sri Guru Parampara and ultimately with Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna, we can understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. And by this association, we can do a lot better than all these highly paid writers and philosophers who are just groping in the dark. I mean, if I would read this passage, it's amazing because it's so reasonable. But as they say, a miss is as good as a mile. They don't catch it that the soul is a completely different kind of energy. It was saying, Descartes is saying that the mind or the soul is completely distinct from the body, and yes, there is a distinction, but how can we imagine living without a body? Pretty much that's what he's saying. He just can't conceive of it. Because from material conditioning, it's beyond material experience, actual self-realization, the independent existence of the soul, not independent from Krishna or super soul, but independent of this body. Actually, we have nothing to do with these bodies, ultimately. So good association provides that too. So I'll read the text again, and then we have very short time, but if anyone has any questions, I think it's permitted that if, probably you're anxious to do other things, but if there are a number of questions, Then at 6 o'clock, which is in about 4 minutes, everyone could very nicely leave and take prashad. But if there are a few that wanted to sit and discuss a little bit, I'm at your service, if I can help at all. Those in full consciousness of me, is the translation again, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. Any questions or comments? Or, as they say, corrections. Is that Yamaraj back there? I got my reading glasses on.
Yes, this is Yamaraj.
Yamaraj Das.
Hi, Prabhu. Thank you for a nice class. Prabhuji, could you speak a little bit about, Maharaj, can you speak a little bit about the origins of bhakti?
The origins of bhakti? That's an interesting question. The origins of bhakti. Well, it's eternal. It's not like there was a certain time where it was a new religious principle or a new religion came out called bhakti. It's our jiva dharma. It's the eternal occupation of living entity. But in terms of cosmic sense of the thing, the origin is in the spiritual world. And in the material world, we're trying to emulate that. It's an invoking of spiritual reality even while we're in the material world. So I guess I would say that the origin is the spiritual world. Is this Prasanna Chaitanya? You look just like Prasanna Chaitanya. That's because you are Prasanna Chaitanya. Haribo. And here's a devotee from Trinidad. We've got friends coming from all over the place. I hope that's okay. How about Krishna Kripa? You must have something. Oh, you're taking notes. That's great. I often like to do that also. All right. Well, you're all sitting here, but if there are no questions, we can move along to the next part of the program. Is the material body is a lump of ignorance type of the program. Sharirara Vijaya. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Bhagavad Gita as it is ki jai. Oh,